Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Well, what's up?
Happy
Hi.
Monday. Welcome to Read Me Romance. It's Tessa Bailey and Alexa Riley, also known as Leah and Mel, your hosts. We're here for Bebe Reed this week. She wrote us a novella called Evermore. It's really shit hot. So we're excited to get to it.
I thought you were going to say it's really shit. And then you went shit hot.
This is a new spin on the podcast where we just rip the books to shreds.
It's the end of season two. Thanks, Bebe, for coming. We're going to rip your book apart.
It's so good. And okay, so if you followed Bebe Reed to the podcast and you've never listened before, this is how it works. So we have an original novella. We break it up into five parts, so it's serialized. And then we release one per day, Monday through Friday. And then, Friday you'll get your Happily Ever After. These characters from Evermore are in the book The Peer and the Puppet by Bebe Reed, and it's Ever and Four. They're really swoony. If you read The Peer and the Puppet, you're definitely following her to this podcast because you want to hear what happens with this.
Well, you said when you read it, you were like, there's a bunch of people in the beginning, and you're like, it was really good. I just needed to figure out who to focus on. So what is it that happens in the beginning to just sort of like ease our readers into this so it's not such an information dump for them?
Yeah,
listening.
I was kind of wishing that I'd read The Peer and the Puppet first. And you can. It's only 99 cents right now.
Both of the books are on sale. The first one's 99 cents and they're both in Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The Peer and the Puppet is the first book in the series. And then
It
has an audio. And it's the same. Actually, we got the same narrators for the podcast.
Oh, no way. That's really cool.
I know, right? Savannah Peachwood and Joe Arden.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They're really good about finding out if the authors like had used narrators in the past and then again. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. So anyways, in the very first chapter, which you're going to hear today in a little while, there's like six friends and they're sitting around having breakfast, and it's a lot of people to like meet at once. But they're all so intriguing. Like, you're like, wait, what's going on between those two? And what's his story? And like, they obviously have a history together. So I'm guessing that's covered in The Peer and the Puppet. But this story, Evermore, can totally be read as a standalone. I would just suggest like focusing on Ever and Four, which is who this is,
the story's about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you got that, ladies? Check.
It's.
I know it's harder sometimes when you're on audio versus when you're reading a book. You can go back and reference the page and be like, oh, okay, that's who that was. So in audio, it's kind of like you got to get it while you go through so you don't miss it. So that's a good little talking point.
Yeah, it's obvious that like a lot happened in The Peer and the Puppet that I really want. Like she drops like little nuggets of like what happened in the past or like what could happen in the future. And like, it's just, she just writes teen angst, like in a way that I was comfortable with, which I'm usually like nervous about, like angst makes me really nervous. And I'm like, no, like, I just want them to be happy. Everybody just make them happy now. Like, it was obvious that this couple was going to be rock solid, but they had all these obstacles, but I didn't feel nervous at any point, which was really, it's really hard to pull off as a writer. So she's so talented. This is my first time reading her. And I want everything she's ever written, though. So,
well, she's adorable. So I'm glad.
Yeah,
you
guys met her, right?
Yeah, and I think I've said before on the podcast, and when we talked about season two to begin with, I think I said I was going to look for her, and I went to her table at a book signing, and she wasn't there. And I sat down and I waited on her, and like I kind of played with her swag and like ate some of her gum and just waited for a little bit. And I was like, well, she's not coming. She must be busy getting ready for the book signing. So I got up and left, and as I was walking away, here she comes towards me with Alexa Riley swag in her arms. And she was like, I was just at your table. So it was kind of cute, like, you know, getting to see her like that and, you know, running into each other that way. But she's just so sweet and so nice. And this is a perfect way to end season two. So I had to remember what season we're on and correct myself. But yeah, it's a great way to end it. I mean, just a nice little bow and tie it up. She's great. I'm glad she could do it.
And she had a new release this it was either late last week or yesterday. I can't remember where I am. She releases a lot.
But yeah, she's like an Alexa Riley with all the releases she's coming out with.
She's good.
But her covers are always so pretty.
The face of the boy, and like I said to you guys earlier, usually, you know, 18-year-old boys, literary boys, don't like turn me on, but this one, he is just an arrogant, obsessive, like, oh my God, he's like a man in a 18-year-old's body, which was
better.
Can
I tell you? So this past weekend,
alpha in the making.
Yes, that's, oh my God, trademark that, Melissa.
Alpha in the making?
Yes. Remember we were going to do a young adult. We were going to do that like books in July. I don't want to say too much in case we do it for another month. But the books where they like, anyways, there was going to be a bunch of like young adult books. That's a good title though. Alpha in the making. Save that. To this past weekend here, they had spring formal for the middle school. Getting to see like girls like dressed up and stuff was just amazing. LB was in town this weekend with me. And so on Saturday, we actually ordered takeout. I did the Tessa thing. I ordered Italian. I went and picked it up and there was like all these kids dressed up outside. And there were a couple of, you know, girls that were just in beautiful gowns and stuff. And then the guys were, you know, you can tell when a boy just is a little awkward in a tux or has never dressed up like that before. It's not their thing. This one motherfucker though, let me tell you, this swagger. Kid came strutting out and I was like, I cannot like look at this, but I can't look away. But like in a tux that was made for him, like he got fitted for that tux, comes out, holds out his hand for his lady. She comes out of the restaurant and this Mercedes pulled up and you hear like one of the girls in the background, I can't believe he rented that just for tonight. And he opens up the door for his lady and puts her, I was like,
guess who's getting laid?
I was like, I mean, they're not old enough for that, Tessa.
Oh, wait, you said they were, okay, but they're 18?
No, they're like in middle school.
Oh my God.
I know.
Edit that out.
I know, right? But no, seriously.
How do you
like,
rent a car if they're in middle school? Like his parents?
I'm sure their parents did it.
I just assumed like, they were like high school, like older, upperclassmen.
And maybe they were. Like I know spring formal. It might have been, they might have done spring formal and prom at the same time. Because I thought he looked older too, but he wasn't driving, which made me think either but he looked older. So I don't know. Like I'm terrible at guessing age anyways. But I just thought like, what a just alpha move to like rent this like beautiful Mercedes, like look sharp. His date was just flawless. Like I was like, wow, these kids have it way too together.
My best friend Ashley's boyfriend for prom rented a PT Cruiser.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's what Mel
used
to do. I forgot
about those.
And it had to be white. Bruiser. It had to be a white PT Cruiser.
Here. Mel had an FJ Cruiser. Never mind. That's what I was thinking. Okay, the PT Cruiser is different.
Remember those?
It looks like a mini hearse, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the one with the big back. Oh, you rented those?
I know. He did, and he thought it was a baller move, like, to rent a PT Cruiser, a white PT Cruiser to match his white tuxedo.
That's amazing. I went to a military ball when I was in middle school. And I remember I found like my dress at a Goodwill, but it was like obviously an old bridesmaid's dress. I had two dresses I found like that, two military balls. But the first one I went to, the dress was mauve silk and it had off the shoulder puffy sleeves and a big bow, like a hip bow. And then it like puffed out. I mean, it was straight out of the 80s, straight out of it. And my mom somehow thought this would be adorable for me to wear.
It kind of sounds adorable.
I know.
No, it was so embarrassing.
Your hair and your skin tone and everything.
No. Oh, my God. It was like, oh, my God. All right. Drew Barrymore, the one where she goes,
Never been kissed.
It's like the bad dress she wears in that.
Josie
You know,
Grossi.
Like the 80s. Yes, Josie Grossi wears it. The puffy sleeves, the fitted bodice, the puff at the bottom, the huge butt bow. Like, oh my God, it was so embarrassing.
I have terrible memories of this dress I wore to, like, I want to say it was like the homecoming dance or something when I was a freshman in high school. And it was like, it was purple and it had like spaghetti straps and it had a butterfly pattern.
Of course.
But there was a white slip underneath with also spaghetti straps, and those and so it had two sets of spaghetti straps and then my bra strap. All of it together.
Just all the straps.
Straps and straps all and the straps.
So the other military ball dress that my mom thought looked beautiful on me was a peach-colored ensemble that was merely flesh-toned, and it was, like, long, and it was lace at the top. All of it just lace, and the bottom of it was lace, but it was old lady, like, doily lace. It was so horrific, and she thought what would look great with it would be, like, a mink stole for me, and, like... Again, in, like, eighth, ninth grade. Like, I mean, I just, like, I look back and I think, this couldn't have been for the times. Like, and these dresses, I mean, you know, they were inexpensive and we were just trying to find something that fit. Because, you know, a big girl back in the early 90s had no success in buying clothes. I mean, it was awful. Because I just didn't make plus-size clothes back then.
It is a new age for plus-size clothing.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you had, like, your choice of, you know...
The Avenue.
Yeah, or like...
Not that there's anything wrong with the Avenue.
No, but it wasn't even
probably
like...
probably one of the first, right? Pioneers.
Yeah, but it was like the style of clothing. It was like I had to dress like a mom because those were the only size clothes that fit me. But I mean, I look back at some of the... Like, I don't think there's any pictures of the mob dress. God, I hope not. If there are... If I ever find one, I may post it, but it was just awful. And then, like, the next one, the peach-colored one, it's like, I think there's one picture, and it was before I ever plucked my eyebrows, and it's just, like, caterpillars on my face, and my hair is frizzy, and oh, my God, it's awful. Okay,
wait,
I have to go.
You ever notice how much it doesn't bother you now to post something like that? Remember when I found that ridiculous, my mom found those ridiculous pictures of me? Like, 7 years ago, I probably never would have shared those. But then now I'm like, guys, I'm going to, you guys are going to die of laughter. It's so embarrassing, but here you go.
Yeah,
I find I'll do anything for a laugh at this age. I'm just,
that's true.
I will look ridiculous.
Well, maybe you're just so secure, like, in how you look now, too. You're like, God, I'm so hot now. What do I care? But, you know, it was just, well, that's just me. Just me then? Oh, okay. Great. But I'm just, I mean, back then, like, I was just really insecure and awkward. And it was, you know, as a kid, it was a formal kid's dance. But I will say, when I finally got to go to prom my senior year, I looked stunning. I was beautiful. It was a gorgeous, very simple A-line, but it was just pale pink. Taffeta. And it had, like, this paisley pattern of silver, like, sparkles through it. I mean, it was pink and sparkly. I
it just
like
sounds
a
like an Alexa
princess.
Riley cover.
Right? Doesn't it?
Foreshadowing.
I know. And I did my hair. I curled it. I put it in sponge rollers the night before. And
so
then
it was
the
wild
day of,
and curly?
Oh, yeah.
It's
no,
an Alexa
I pulled
Riley
it up. Well, I pulled it up. So, like, the day of, you know, like, back in the 90s, too, a tight bun was the thing. So, I curled it, and then I pulled it up in a tight ponytail, and I just pinned the curls around it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had, like, the, like, diamond jewelry and stuff. Like, I looked beautiful. I wish I had more. If I can find pictures of that, I'll share it, because I fucking love that dress.
Mel, have you had any bad formal dresses? I saw pictures of your wedding dress from Mexico, and you looked really, really pretty.
Oh.
She's like, oh.
Oh.
Thanks.
Was that the black one? Was that the black one?
I wore black to the wedding, yes.
Okay.
Is that not against, is that against the rules? Are you allowed to wear black? You're not allowed to wear white, right? I don't know.
You are. I think that black at a wedding used to be something that wasn't done, and then now it's totally acceptable.
I
wear black
it.
To weddings,
yeah.
For sure.
Oh. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I'll have to ask my mom. I can't remember. I'm sure I have pictures. I don't remember any being horrible, except for that the Vegas pictures when I was like 20 and got married in Vegas one weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wedding pictures are horrible. I there's like two pictures. One of them's blurry, and then there's another one where I'm stuffing a cupcake in my mouth.
Yes.
That's it.
I want to see that.
Okay.
I want to see that.
All right. As long as you put it on a cover of a book.
Okay, great. I absolutely. You're eating a
cupcake.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
100%.
Okay. Take the template from Wedding Cake Crasher and put my picture behind it, and then we'll post it.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
I'm going to send it as soon as we're done here.
All right. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go home. I was supposed to go home this weekend, but I'm not. But I'm going to have to go home to my mom's closet and pull out the old photos, like the actual photos, and find the pictures of me in these formal dresses. And I'll definitely post them, but I just don't think the mauve dress exists. And oh my God, if it does, I bet my bangs are so big in it. Oh my God.
No, I was just going to say, your friend LB was over this weekend. And LB, if you guys didn't know, is the one who sings our theme song.
Yeah.
So what'd you guys do besides ordering Italian takeout?
You know, we had grand ideas to do a bunch of stuff, but we didn't do anything and it was wonderful. She came over, she came in on Thursday, and we just like, I recently redid like my outside patio and I got a couch out there, got it at Walmart. And I did like the, it's like an L-shaped couch and I have like a little fire pit that we had gotten forever ago. So we were able to use that. And so just kind of like put a rug out there, strung some lights, and it just made the place look so nice. I know. And so, and just so cozy. And we basically sat out there all weekend long. And it was, even though it was really hot, the side of the house is really shaded. And so it was so lovely. And Thursday night she came, we just hung on the porch. And then Friday, I had a bunch of friends over that live in town here. And we had a game night. We usually try to like do it once every month or so. And so we had a bunch of people over and we played like charades. And, you know, last time we played Bunko, which I don't know if you guys have ever played it, but I fucking love Bunko.
My mom used to play it once a week.
I love that shit. So this time we did different kind of charades, and then we did word salad and like a bunch of other games. And I made like a bunch of food and we all just hung out and it was awesome. It was a good time. Like we played games we could include the kids with too, because all the kids were there. So that was nice.
That's fun.
But yeah, it was really good. And then Saturday morning, both my kids had their last soccer game of the season. And so LB was here, so she got to go to it. And it was really sweet. She made them both a big sign and she held up the sign while they were playing. And it was really cute. Like she had their numbers on there and like was cheering for them. I think they played extra hard because she was there, which I really didn't appreciate because I've been there all season.
We had our last final. Well, we have two more makeup weeks because like every Sunday this season it's rained.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was supposed to be our last soccer game of the season last Sunday. And one of the girls who hadn't scored yet, and she's been playing for three or four seasons. Yeah.
Oh.
And her name is, well, it doesn't matter. You're not going to like look her.
Yeah.
Cece. She's like one of the sweetest kids. Like her and her mother are some of my favorites. And she, you know, she's like a bit, she's like very tall and like she hasn't come into her limbs yet. And she's one of, you know, and I don't know what happened. She turned it on and she went for like a half field. Like she just like pushed the ball at the field and scored. And everybody lost their minds.
Oh.
My daughter runs over to me, Mackenzie, and she goes, "Mom, I recorded that goal." And her mom, I can hear her mom going, "What?" Like screaming. Just randomly, she picked up her phone for 10 seconds and filmed Cece scoring the goal. And it was just this moment that was meant to be. She caught this whole thing on camera.
Oh, that's so
And her mom ran
awesome.
Out of the field and picked her up in a big hug, and it was just wonderful.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to cry.
I love coaching soccer. I love it.
It was, like, I've never coached because I've never played it before, but, you know, my oldest, she had a great coach this year, somebody who really worked hard with them, and I just appreciated so much. I mean, they don't get paid anything for that. Like, they don't receive anything for it. They volunteer to do it. And she put in so much work with these kids, like training with them and teaching them positions. And, you know, my oldest one just learned so much about soccer and really came into her own this year as goalie. And, you know, that was the position she played almost every game. And she just loved it. And she had a couple of, like, huge blocks where everybody cheered. And it was like, I really think that sparked the fire inside of her. Because that's all she wanted to play after that. Like, she'd walk on the field with that goalie jersey on, just like a badass. And then she'd get in the middle of the, like, goalposts. And she'd put her hands on her knees, like, fucking try to get it through me. Like, it was just so awesome to see her, like, just mega pumped about it. And I just totally owe it all to this coach this season.
I don't think,
because like, if somebody would have cashed it in, I don't think she would have had as good of a time.
Oh, you can definitely tell like which coaches are there just because they have to be, and the ones that like
they
really want
to
make the kids better.
They want to get their kids free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My daughter plays defense mostly, and like she calls her foot the weaponizer. she does. I don't. She can like kick it full field. It's crazy. She'll just
That's awesome.
I don't think sports is for every kid, but I think it can be really good for kids who it's for. Like, you know, like it can be really beneficial for a kid's confidence. And I don't see it, like, I know that it happens, obviously, it's a huge problem, but there's no, like, bullying or negativity among the girls. It's, like, they're all really supportive of each other. Yeah. And I, you know, it's not that I'm just not seeing it. Like, it's really, it's not happening on at this particular team at this particular time. Like, obviously, it happens elsewhere, but they support each other and they cheer for each other. And it's, like, that is so good for a girl's confidence and spirit. So,
And just like the relationships they form, like one of my oldest, one of her best friends was goalie on the other team. Their last game, like they were purple and red, and my daughter was red and her friend was purple, and both teams were undefeated. So this was like, whoever wins this, I mean, takes the whole thing. So her friend, like she's in class with every day, is on goalie on the other one, and they scored, and I was just like, oh man, like I felt so bad. Like I didn't clap. I mean, even though I want my daughter's team to win, like I felt bad for her friend. And that I thought after the game, it was so cool. My daughter went up to her and like gave her a hug, and she was like, great game, you know, we had fun. Like, you know, even though like the red team won, it was like they didn't even care, you know, by the end of it. And they're still little, and you know, they're still little enough to where they'll forget about it.
And they're probably competing against each other for a lot of in gym class, like every day for something.
Oh, yeah,
you know, like it's probably nothing new for them.
Yeah, true.
I actually have, well, there's actually one other thing I wanted to talk about is kind of pertains to soccer. Is like, I feel like I kind of had like a mom fail last week where like, I didn't realize that the entire town tries out for travel soccer.
Like, oh shit!
Everybody was at tryouts, and I was like, and they were like, why aren't you at tryouts? And I was like, I, you know, like, just didn't bring her because it's really difficult with her condition for her to play sports for a really extended period of time. And I'm thinking about the summer heat, and I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, like, I would have to be standing there on the sidelines. And I, so then afterwards, I kind of was like, that was really selfish of me. Like, I should have just taken her to the goddamn tryouts and just, like, you know, stood there.
Chance.
I should have stood there on the sidelines with her transmitter and should have done all of it and not worried about how difficult it was going to be for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened? Like, what was the end result?
Like, all her friends made teams, you know, and she's not on one.
Does she want to be on one?
She hasn't really said. She hasn't really brought it up to me, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't take it 100% as a fail, because you got to think, if it's going to be a constant worry for you when you're doing this all summer, she's going to feel that too.
Yeah,
you guys
absolutely.
Can go and do other things that are going to be more positive and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that
the things where you'd
be
more relaxed.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That no, that's a fair
there.
Point. That's a good point, Mel, that she would feel that stress and worry. But you know, that was something else. Like, they had a travel soccer team tryouts, and I know my kid has fun and she has a good time when she's playing soccer. If she's not hot, if she's hot, she's like, pack it up, let's go the fuck home.
That's a girl after my own heart. I put my air conditioner in the window last night, and by the way, like, me and my husband have been putting the window air conditioner in together every year at the same time since we've been dating. Like, it's been like 15 years. This year he was at work and I was like, it's 85 degrees. I put that thing in myself and I was like,
you have no use anymore. Do you not have central
air?
No.
No, that's not like, that's not really a thing here. I mean, it is a thing on the East Coast, but a lot of people have window air conditioners. It's not unusual.
Yeah, I guess so. Cause you don't really need it for that long.
You need it for three
months
out of the year. So
yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So
I
how did
go
it go?
I put it in myself and I was like, to Pat when he got home, I was like, I guess you've outlived your use. Like, this is really all I needed you for. It was the window air conditioner once a year. And now, like, fuck, you better figure out what else you're good at.
No, no, right? Damn.
But anyways, back to the thing. I just went and put my, I like signed her up for basketball camp yesterday, and I signed her up for a diabetes camp. And I was like, okay, we've got stuff going on. Like, well, but now I just feel like next year all her friends are going to be playing soccer. And I just, it's like the fucking SATs. Like when I didn't know people were taking the SATs. Yeah. I just, like, my brain just didn't latch onto it. What was the importance of it, you know?
I don't know. I just think, like, giving her an opportunity to do other things is really good. And, you know, maybe breaking away from this group of girls for a little while is not a bad thing, especially at this age. Like, think of all the new friends she'll make doing the basketball or doing this, and the other girls that she's done soccer with this far. I mean, I just don't look at it like there's no downside. I mean, she's 9 years old, right? Like,
she's seven.
Really?
Yeah.
Or seven, I'm sorry, seven.
She'll be not. She'll be eight in July, though.
Okay, that's right. I thought those were close in age, but so she's, you know, she's almost 8 years old. This is not going to affect her long term. I know you think, like, you're worried and that's awesome, but you don't need to be. You know, like, this, just let it go. She's going to have a fun summer. Next year, if you want to sign her up for it, do it. Who cares?
You guys, like, have mom guilt over things, right?
Absolutely. All the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I signed my kid up for basketball because I knew it was indoors. I mean, honestly, it's too fucking hot out. I mean, today it's going to be 92 degrees, you know? And so, like, it just, I can't put her outside in that heat running around. She'd murder me. And she'd complain and I'd be miserable. I'm like, why are we out here if you hate this?
Yeah, it is too hot. And it's too hot to be outside in July and August in New York. I mean, just, where you are and then around also like New York. Like, those are the months where it's just so humid, you can't even walk. Mm-hmm. It's like walking into a soup. Like, you're just walking through soup.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't, I know you're upset about it, but, you know, you didn't fail. You didn't fail.
I think it's also combined with all the communion parties we've been going to, where, like, she's like, she's like wondering why she doesn't get to wear, like, the white dress and have, like, a entrance and all that stuff. And I don't know. I think it's just all of it combined where I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, no, and I'm sure, too, like, you in your community, you know, a lot of the girls she's close to, you see it as, like, she's being left out. But, you know, I saw a quinceañera the other day, and a girl was dressed as a bride as they were coming out of the church, and I thought about you. And I was like, oh, Tessa.
She's dressed as a bride.
She was. She was dressed. She had white dress, veil, everything.
Oh, are you sure it was a quinceañera and not a communion?
She was, like, I mean, she looked 16.
Oh, okay. You'd be able to tell, 15. I guess, based on their age.
She wasn't, like, seven. So, but, I mean, you know, who's to say that you can't do, like, a sweet 16 party or a double-digit birthday or, you know, something special that maybe her friends might not get to do, too? You know, something for her to look forward to that's more special. I mean, we had a double-digit birthday, and I thought that was really fun.
That was fun. Moving on from my insecurities. Did you guys?
No, I'm glad you said it because I think it's really relatable.
Yeah, it's just like sometimes I think that also if you're a working mother or you're like focused on, even if you just stop focus, like keep focus on yourself maybe a little too much for a while, you just like miss stuff and then you just made to feel so bad about it, you know?
I know, because you're busy thinking about like all the other stuff you have going on and it's like, you know, this slips through the crack. I mean, Jesus Christ, like my daughter that's in pre-K, they send homework. And the other day there was like, oh, you didn't return her homework. I'm like, she's fucking four. Eat my asshole. She's not doing homework. No,
I've
I'm not sending
same
it.
Thing before when they were trying to send homework every day. I'm like, get out of here. He's been at school all day.
I know.
No, we're not doing homework.
I will say that about my daughter's school is it's really minimal homework. Although she's only in second grade, so who knows what, you know, sixth grade. I'm sure it's going to be like an hour and a half of homework every night, but.
Well, you know, they got plenty of time for that later. I just don't see when they're little like this. Just fuck that.
Okay, so. Yeah. B.B. Reed, I agree with you. B.B. Reed, this series is called When Rivals Play. So Evermore is the one we're listening to this week, the audiobook.
Is it all high school? Are all the books in high school?
It's like, it's high school, but it's like, I don't know how to explain it. They're in like some, it seems like it's almost like a kingdom.
Ooh.
Like, it's really rich and really affluential and everybody's got, I don't know, it's like, there's the rich kids and the poor kids and it just seems like these kids have so much power that it doesn't feel like high school. You know, it doesn't, if it, they are high school age, but it's got some sort of like, I don't know, royal quality to it.
I like that.
Makes it, just kind of elevates it a little bit from what you're thinking. But the When Rivals Play is a series. The Peer and the Puppet, like I said, is the first one. And we're listening to Evermore. But I wanted to know, because this is like definitely cracky, teen, angsty read, like in a really good one. Do you guys have recommendations of like similar books, like cracky, teen, angsty, sexy books?
There's a book called Josh and Hannah by Linda Chance that I've read a few times. It's high school and it's really good.
Yeah, what's that about?
They're just in high school and all that normal high school angst stuff, and then he's like waiting for her to turn 18 so that they can get it on, and he's like super alpha, but you just go through all the high school drama that there is to be had.
I love it.
It's longer too, and it's, the whole thing is interesting. You'll stick through it. It's probably over 100,000 words.
Is there sex?
Oh shit.
Yeah, there's sex. Okay. She turns 18 and it's the whole of, he's kind of the bad boy of town, but yes, she comes from good parents, and he's trying to prove to the dad and the mom that he's good for her. So he's like making sure he gets her home on time and shit.
Oh, I like that.
It's sweet. He's trying to win the parents over too. And she's kind of like, wait, you're the bad boy, because before she comes around, he was
yeah,
a bad boy.
You were asking about this earlier, and I've read the Paper Princess series by Aaron Watt. That's Jen Frederick and L. Kennedy wrote that series under one name, under Aaron Watt. And it is so fucking good. For those of you who have not read it, it's so good. It's about this girl. She's kind of in a bad situation, and this guy who was her dad's best friend comes and rescues her from a strip club. And then, like, he brings her into this, it's like a whole other world. It's very Cruel Intentions, where she's sort of like thrown into this society, kind of rich lifestyle with a private school and then all these brothers. And it's really, really good. There's not like detailed sex, but it kind of walks you through it. There's just all the twists and turns and the, you know, the drama and everything that happens with it. And I just loved it. I ate up that series. It was great.
Okay, so yeah, that was Paper Princess by Aaron Watt, and it's got, there's, is it a trilogy?
Yeah, well, there's Paper Princess, and then there's Crack Kingdom, Broken Palace, and I want to say they did a fourth one? I can't remember.
When It's Real?
I think they did another couple, if I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I think When It's Real was connected, but it
When
was
It's
there.
Real is not, yeah, they did do that one, and then the small, there's one that's like small something, One Small Thing, or One True Thing, I can't remember. That was the one that's like written in like a window, like written in dew. Can't remember that name of that one. But yeah, Aaron Watt has several books and they're all like that. They're all like YA and super cracky. The other one I was thinking about was To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Did you ever read that book?
Yeah, well, it's a Netflix movie now.
Netflix, yeah, yeah. They made it into a movie and it's so good.
It's so good, like, but they're doing a sequel.
Yeah, yeah, it's out. The book, I think, is already out.
And I was so glad to hear they were doing a sequel, because I loved that movie, but the ending was, like, I wanted more a dramatic ending. I don't know, I just wanted, like, you know, she kind of comes up to him on the field, and they have, like, a reconciliation, and, like, it's obvious they're going to be together.
Cute.
But I was like, I want Running Through the Rain, like, you know what I mean? I want something like a romance,
emotional,
like one of those scenes, you know.
Yeah, but that's a good book if you've never read it, and I think the second book is out already, so
it is, yeah,
yeah, it's really cute.
And that's got
that
Noah
one.
Centineo in it, which all of you are groaning in your cars because, like, you know who I'm talking about. He's just like, he's probably 20 years old but he is just so, like, charismatic and attractive. He's got, like, a chin scar.
Well, I love
scar.
That picture that the picture of the two of them that got passed around on social media, that they were, like, between filming and they were both napping
sleeping
together
on
the couch. Yeah, they were sleeping together on the couch, cuddled up. And I was like, oh, my God.
And that movie doesn't have sex in it, but there is a scene in a hot tub that I was like, oh, like.
Oh, yeah. No, she does.
Sensual.
Well, she does have sex with them, right?
I don't think they have sex. I think they make out.
No, maybe they don't.
They make out in the hot tub, and then everybody thinks the next day that
they
have sex.
Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Spoiler
but they didn't.
Alert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sure everybody who listens to this has seen that movie.
It's been out like like 2 years.
That's what people are talking about, like, his Game of Thrones, you know, obviously the finale was on Sunday, and everybody, like, I haven't seen anybody trying to stay away from spoilers. Or trying to not spoil it. They're like, if you haven't seen it, like, fuck you.
Yeah, and that's basically, we're talking everybody's about been it. Super aggressive about it. Yeah, but it's over now. And did you?
I know what happened. I know what happened because Leslie. I follow Leslie Jones on Instagram, and she just she just videos like 30 seconds of it and gives commentary, and it's so entertaining to me that I feel like I've watched the whole show. So
yes,
there's okay. So here's my cracky teen wreck that's also sexy. Where I have two, and they're both paranormal, weirdly, but that actually ends up being my go-to a lot of the time when I'm reading stuff. Reading romance, I always go paranormal. I don't know. I think it's because it's a big departure from what I write, so it feels like a vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lux series by Jennifer Armentrout. The hero is an alien. It's just hot. The girl's a book blogger, like a romance book blogger. That was one of my very first YA reads, and I love that series. It's so romantic, and I think she was one of the first YA authors to have sex in her books, although it's pretty, it's pretty, like, abstract. But one that's a little bit more, you know, a little sexier is the Arcana Chronicles by Cressley Cole. There's just been like an apocalypse, and this girl, Evie, is like having visions, and this like bayou guy with a Cajun accent in her high school, like, and her join forces to go, like, I don't know, figure out what her visions mean. And he is another one of those 18-year-old literary guys that like made me, like, made me feel sexy, you know?
I like that.
His name's Jack, and he speaks with a Cajun accent. So, you know, yeah.
Sam Cresset has a series that I've reread a few times, The Alpha Shifters, and it's young adult. And it's got sex in it, but not till like the end, of course. And it's like a series about, they're all in high school, and like the first guy or something, he accidentally bullied her.
Accidentally?
Like his friends bullied her, but he wouldn't say anything.
Oh, he just didn't
and
step
then
in.
When he turns 18, you find out who your mates are. And she ends up being the mate. And he has to spend the whole book trying to win her over.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
So, yeah, she's got a whole series for it. It's called, like, the Alpha Shifter Collection, and it's young adult and sex at the end.
That reminds me of that book by Charlotte Stein called Never Sweeter, where he literally... I feel like I'm not spoiling this because I think it happens in the first scene. He literally hits her with a car and she goes flying off a fucking cliff.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then cut to 2 years later and they go to the same college together and he's trying to make it up to her.
Oh my God.
It's a long road.
I know, right? So. I love that.
Hopefully
I love Charlotte.
It wasn't
Stein.
A long clip.
No, no. I know, right? We have young adult series. You have young adult books, Tessa?
No.
You've never written a young adult? Wow,
I've written
really?
A new adult.
Oh.
Several.
That's not the same.
Nothing under 18, though.
We have Shielding Lily is one of ours. It's a high school romance.
And that's an audio.
Yeah.
I love that book. That's one of my favorites of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cover on that's beautiful. I loved writing that book. That was fun. And then we have Ringing in the New Year, which I know we've talked about on the podcast before. And that's where they go all the way from, like, kindergarten up together. So there's
aww.
That one. So, yeah. And we're writing one now.
I love that book.
I know.
Now that we think about it, he's, like, standing there watching her play hopscotch with all of his friends, and he's not playing kickball with his. He's like, I don't know why I've got to stand here and watch her, but I do.
I know. My mom told me to look out for her, so I got to watch her. He's an alpha in the making. And then we're writing one now. It's called Not Yet. And it's about their step siblings. And they go from, like, I think it's like first grade or kindergarten, whatever. They go all the way up together. But they hate each other in high school. And so they're like in different groups and stuff. And they're mad at each other. And they don't realize it's because of like their attraction. And so, like, that's why the book's called Not Yet. Because it's just going to be one big tease. So.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Remember when we used to plot, like, through Facebook, our Facebook comments, we, like, plotted a whole YA book together?
Yes! that's how we got, that's how we first got started, like, talking and doing, like, I think that's eventually how we got to this.
I think I posted a picture of my daughter and her, like, her best friend who's a boy in kindergarten. Yeah. And then we, like, started.
They were on, like, a swing set.
We changed the names and started writing, like, a kindergarten, like, a romance that started in kindergarten and then they got older. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And because I was like, he just always carried a Band-Aid in his back pocket. I know. Of course I do. That was, like, a great love story. Because then it would, like, fast forward to college because he had to move away. And then they got back together in college. And he still carries that Band-Aid.
Yeah. In case she gets a skinny.
Just in case. Yeah.
Aww.
Aww, I love it.
Love it. Alpha in the making.
I know. We should look that up. We should look up that old conversation and write it.
Yeah, we should. And then the sequel could be, like, heroine in the making. Like, romance heroine in the making or something.
Oh, yeah.
Damsel in the making. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Okay, let's play the first installment of Evermore by BB Reed, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Bye.
Chapter 1-4. ETA to prom, 56 days. Tyra, you're black, right? It was a Saturday morning, and we were all at Vaughn's eating the huge breakfast spread his father's team of cooks had made. Vaughn had even invited Barbie, against his better judgment, along with Rin and Lou, who I was more than happy to see. They've kind of been honeymooning it in their love nest for the past 2 months and finally emerged to rejoin the world. Lou kept looking like she had a secret to tell. But I knew if she did, she'd never have lasted this long without saying something. I'm sure she was just excited and smug to finally be boning her best friend. She had shamelessly tortured and seduced him until he gave in, after all. Ask me if the carpet matches the drapes, and I'll disembowel you right here, Buchanan. Jamie snorted and scooped a huge helping of eggs into his mouth. Give me a fucking break, he said with a mouthful. I answered that question thoroughly years ago. Besides, he swallowed this time before saying, I already know you're as bald as a baby's ass. Everyone was shocked into stunned silence as we shifted our questioning gazes to Tyra. Vaughn was the first to break the stunned silence. How the fuck do you know that? He roared. Jamie's smile was small as he methodically slathered cream cheese on a bagel, perfectly content to leave us in suspense. And then, with a teasing wink, he said, saw the reminder for her wax appointment on a phone. Everyone seemed to release a collective breath except Tyra, who screeched, You guys actually think I fucked him? Jamie can be persuasive, I muttered guiltily. Which earned an eye roll from Tyra and a scowl from Ever. How persuasive, he demanded. If Ever were a dog, he'd be foaming at the mouth right about now. Taking a cue from Tyra's book, I rolled my eyes and could practically see the steam blowing from his ears. For the sake of finishing breakfast, I bit back a smile. Hey, if he could prance around with a pretend girlfriend, then perhaps I could make myself feel less like a fool by torturing his ego. That lasted about a minute or two before guilt sank in. Not only had I agreed to the charade, but Ever also made damn sure to never cross any lines. He only wanted to protect his friend, and I wanted to protect his conscience and share some of the burden resting on his shoulders. It had taken so much from him to give up rescuing his mom from a raging madman at my urging. But then, Ren Harlan had been his shooting star, and it all worked out. I was determined for this to work out, too. Leaning over, I stole a kiss and earned his surprise, though still slightly pissed, gaze. Only ever you. Slowly, the anger faded, and I was once again the girl he adored. Fucking better be, he said with a confident smirk that made me want to deck him like I had soon after we first met. But I also knew Ever wouldn't hesitate to take me over his knee no matter who was watching, and I knew I wouldn't hesitate to put up a fight. It'd be a shit show for sure. So, guys, Tyra shouted cheerily. I think she was more than eager to redirect the conversation. Ever and I turned to see her regarding Lou and Ren. How are you liking living together? It isn't weird? Not at all, Lou answered with an affectionate smile. I'm learning so much about my baby, like how fast the toilet paper goes when he's around. Ren's lip curled into a mocking sneer.
I'm sorry that I need more than two squares to wipe my ass.
More like two rolls, Lou corrected, before laying a sympathetic hand on his arm. It gets a bit explosive down there, huh? I nearly choked on my food, trying not to laugh, although Jamie had no such reservations and roared while the rest of the table pushed their food away. Ren and Lou went back and forth for a while, but I was distracted away from their playful banter when Tyra leaned over and whispered something in Vaughn's ear. When she finished, Vaughn nodded grimly. What struck me as weird was when his gaze found mine, he quickly looked away.
Jamie, Vaughn drawled, it's your lucky day. That stunt you pulled got you chauffeur duty. The girls want you to drive them around when they go dress shopping.
Rather than getting upset, Jamie shrugged and reached for a strip of bacon.
Only if I get to help them try some on, he retorted lasciviously. You don't.
Ever, Vaughn, and for some reason, Ren echoed. Dresses? I questioned. For what? Everyone's expression became equally bewildered, including Ren and Lou. It was the latter who answered when everyone else just stared. For prom, silly.
Okay, how does she know that but not you? Jamie quipped.
For one, Lou sassed before I could respond, I'm going. And two, maybe she just forgot. Jamie's gaze narrowed before traveling back and forth and then settling on Ever.
You haven't asked her yet, have you?
At Ever's silence, Jamie's lips spread into a wide smile.
This should be interesting.
Why would he need to ask her? Lou argued in a tone suggesting Jamie was dense. She's obviously his girlfriend. The sneaky smile and mocking tone made it clear how Jamie and Lou became such fast friends. They were both messy as hell.
No, she's his dirty little secret.
Jamie stood up from the table with a chuckle that strangely lacked humor.
Everyone will be expecting him to show up with her on his arm.
He pointed accusingly at Barbie, who had lost her bravado and looked like she wanted to crawl under the table. She'd been little more than wallpaper since she sat down, and I didn't blame her. Jamie usually baited her without cause. Opening her mouth would only add fuel to an already raging fire. I wasn't convinced that she couldn't handle herself, though. Her eyes said everything her lips didn't. And when they thought no one was looking, they'd have a silent battle of wills. Sometimes I had to look away because it felt too intimate. As if I'd just walked in on them fucking. I shuddered at the thought. I'd gotten too used to them hating each other to see them reconcile enough to do that. Then again, I remembered Halloween and the cornfield. Ever had ripped away the tape covering my naked body underneath, bent me over for anyone who discovered us to see, and took me with a savage vengeance for the kiss that Jamie had stolen. I flushed, not only at the memory, but at the possibilities. If a moment of anger could have such delicious consequences, then I could only imagine what years of resentment would inevitably lead to.
You're blushing,
Ever whispered in my ear. I jumped guiltily and peeked at him from under my lashes. He looked more confused than intrigued, and then I remembered the conversation at hand. It's just a little hot in here, I responded. He didn't react to my lame excuse, but the look in his eyes said to try again. The air conditioning had to be working overtime to cool a place this big. Maybe that was why the French doors behind us had been thrown open to let in the cooling breeze.
But don't let that distract you from the fact that I can't get my dick wet in peace without being asked if I have a date to the prom, Jamie grumbled.
How is that relevant? Tyra questioned.
Most of these chicks care more about prom than they do graduation, but somehow the most coveted day of the year escaped our dear four's notice.
And she's got a lot on her mind.
So wouldn't a night dancing in her lover's arms be the perfect chance to escape her woes?
No one had a response to that, least of all me, but the loudest silence came from Ever. While your concern is touching, Jamie, you don't need to speak for me. I never had any intention of going to prom.
Oh, you'll go, Ever decreed.
He sounded very much like a person who had an entire school and half the town under his thumb. They might all bow and scrape, but I never would, and I thought he learned that by now. My head whipped in his direction so fast, pain shot up the side, but I ignored it and pinned him with my glare instead. On whose command? Racing his hands against the table, Ever leaned forward, looking ready to stand. The look he'd given me told me he intended to drag me off somewhere to continue this conversation in private. But then Lou spoke and effectively thwarted his plans. I know this is super taboo and a little insane, and I may be starting something that I can't undo, but I have to side with Jamie, and you should know, she adamantly defended, that it is not because he's my new best friend. At that announcement, Ren growled. Oh, sweetie, Lou cooed. You didn't think you'd have your cake and eat it too, did you? Ren shot her an indignant look, and she kissed his cheek. Relax, Chief. You get to see me naked.
Get back to the pot where you were agreeing with me, Jamie insisted.
Don't push it, Lou warned him with a scathing look before turning that disapproval on Ever. Unless there's an audience, I've never seen you act like more than a friend to her. She threw her thumb over her shoulder at Barbie, who rolled her eyes. And when no one else except us is looking, you dote and fawn and screw for, rather loudly, I might add, and in front of your supposed girlfriend.
Lou, it's not our business,
Ren bit out. She turned to me as if she hadn't heard him. I know Tyra said she wouldn't judge, but I made no such promise. I respect the hell out of you, Four. I might even look up to you. Her eyes turned misty before she said, You're the big sister I'll never have.
Wait one fucking minute, Ever said with a growl before I could respond. This so-called breakfast is a goddamn intervention, isn't it?
Yes. Shouted everyone except Barbie, Ever, and me.
Unfucking believable, he spat.
I glanced worriedly at Barbie, and like I might have guessed, she was completely ashen.
Something is up, Vaughn said. And if you don't tell us right now what's going on, that vein in Jamie's forehead is going to burst. Let me guess, Ever responded with a lick of his lips. This was all his idea. Of course, Jamie answered proudly.
We only agreed because it's driving us crazy too, Tyra rushed to explain.
Tell us what the hell is going on with you three, Vaughn demanded. If it was any of your business, Ever stood up. We would have told you.
Taking my arm, he pulled me from the chair before nodding at a dazed Barbie, who awkwardly stood and followed. I looked over my shoulder to see our friends watching us leave with a mixture of guilt and worry. The only one who looked angry, of course, was Jamie. Better luck next time, asshole.
And we're back.
Hey.
So, like I said, if you want to read the first book in this series, if the series is When Rivals Play, The Peer and the Puppet is the first book in this series, and the main characters are Ever and Four, who starring in Evermore. But it's 99 cents and it's free on Kindle Unlimited. Book number two.
And if you want to do the audio, make sure you buy the book first for 99 cents and then get the audio.
That's right.
It'll be cheaper.
Absolutely.
That's right. You can add narration for like $7 or something. It's really worth it. And these narrators are so good. So definitely do that. And her new book, The Moth and the Flame, is out now. It's $2.99 and it's on Kindle Unlimited. She's giving away $25 gift cards. So if you head over to readmeromance.com and go to our current audiobook, you can enter to win the gift card. So I think that's it. Do you guys have a book out today?
Nope.
I always have to ask.
Not today.
Never now.
I didn't even look to see when we have our next one out.
I don't have a book out either, so we'll just... Oh, Leah, tell them what to do.
Oh, fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.